Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to our broadcast. In just a few moments, we're going to bless you with the conclusion of a message delivered from the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church titled, O Taste and See. But first, enjoy this wonderful music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled Let Your Glory Fall, this track is called Here I Am to Worship.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all full of sake became poor.
Be blessed as you enjoy the conclusion of a message delivered from the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church titled, O Taste and See.
When it says that the well is deep, he said 96 feet deep to be exact. And I can't imitate him as well as I used to when I was young. And then she said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Oh, yes, ma'am. The one that's speaking to you, he's greater than Jacob. He's greater than Isaac. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Adam in the Garden of Eden. She says, are you greater? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She still thinks he's talking about natural water. God bless her. I can't promise that if I was in her shoes that I would have done any better. Hindsight's 20/20. We're looking at it with a couple of thousand years of hindsight, and I'm trying not to be too hard on her. But my goodness, when people are upside down and they're thinking, they can be hard-headed. Anybody ever meet them? I've run into them in Bible studies, witnessing in the store. Hard-headed. It's because they're upside down. They look at you and you don't make sense. It's why you'll get conversations like Elder Rusty Sandy talked about this morning when he said somebody approached him and said, how is it that you can trust God so much? They don't understand. It's because they're upside down in their thinking. Jesus, she says, get me so that I won't have to come here to draw. So Jesus says, okay, maybe if we bring out word of knowledge, she'll realize we're talking about spiritual things. So he says, okay, all right, go get your husband. He says, go call the husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Now she's being snarky and coy. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidst truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Still, it's starting to dawn on her that she is dealing with someone that's greater than Jacob. And so, it's interesting to me, the reaction that the upside down thinking person has when they finally start to taste and see. It's like that moment when you have a raging infection and you have an abscess that is just packed with death and poison. And a doctor reaches down to lance that, and that poison just gushes out of that abscess. That is the sense of this conversation. She has been so upside down for so long, and her life has been such a nightmare. And one man after another man after another man after another man has let her down. I can understand why she finally said, no, I will not marry the next one. I'll just shack up with him. I am fed up. She's got bitterness against the Jews because of her perception of their racism, whether valid or not. She very likely had some issues against men. And now she sees someone that comes to her with power from another world. And as soon as he touches in a way that breaks through the fog of her thinking, she starts to spill. And it comes out this way, verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say, you Jews, you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's pitting it as a contest of tradition. Why are your traditions any better than our tradition? You got a tradition for Jerusalem. We got a tradition for worshiping in this mountain. And who's to say that your culture is any better than my culture? I'm telling you folks, this is not a game of culture. There's going to be culture clash. There's going to be culture shock. But this is not a game of culture. We're talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about right and wrong. We're talking about a relationship with the God of the cosmos. Jesus, he's just so patient. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believeth me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. Folks, it's beyond the description of words. When God Almighty, with a sovereign hand, reaches into your poisoned and sad heart and turns you from upside down to right side up and pours into you His salvation and His healing and His glory and His truth, and it so changes you that it turns you into a worshiper. The woman saith unto Him, well, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Okay, so she's played Jewish culture against Samaritan culture. Now she's going to place Hebrew history against Greek translations. The Septuagint was a translation of the Hebrew Bible, what we would call our Old Testament. It was the entirety of their scriptures. It was a translation made before Jesus' time, some hundreds of years before Jesus' time. Jewish leaders saw that Greek had become the lingua franca of the world, and they realized that they needed to translate their Bible into Greek in order to remain accessible, in order for the truth of God's word to remain accessible. And so it's abbreviated, scholars abbreviated as LXX, Roman numerals for 70, and it refers to the Septuagint. And we can tell, Bible scholars that parse the scriptures carefully can tell in certain places when Jesus spoke, they can tell that He was speaking, quoting from the Septuagint rather than quoting from a Hebrew scroll because of little keys that they can pick up on. And she's going to just kind of drop that little bomb into the conversation. And she says, I know that Mashiach, that's the Hebrew, I know that Mashiach cometh, which is called Christ. Now, in the original, that would have been Christos, the Greek that we get our word Christ from. And Messiah in Hebrew means anointed, and Christos in Greek means anointed. And so the translation of what language you're dealing with is meaningless. The truth of the matter is, this is a human being who has been anointed by the very presence and identity of God Almighty. But she's trying to throw in here the language confusion. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He has come, He will tell us all things. And her upside down thinking, he's talking to her about spirit. And she said, well, you talk to me about spirit, I'm going to talk to you about flesh. The Messiah is going to come in flesh. And when He gets here in flesh, He's going to tell us everything. I love Jesus' response. And I saw something tonight in this response I never saw before. She said, when he's come... He's gonna explain it to us. He's gonna Messiah splain. Not gonna mansplain or woman splain or Jew splain or Christian splain. He's gonna Messiah splain. She said, when He comes, He is gonna straighten us out. It's almost like she's saying, I know my people don't have it all, and I'm pretty sure your people don't have it all, but both your people and my people have been telling us that an anointed one is coming, and when He gets here, He's gonna straighten it all out. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Now in Isaiah 43:11, the Almighty God, the invisible spirit that created the cosmos said, I am the Yahweh, I am the I am, and beside me there is no Savior. Now in John 10, Jesus said, I'm the great shepherd. But in this passage, he's going to be acknowledged as the Savior of the world. He said, I that speak unto thee am He. And the Lord showed me something tonight in prayer and study. The Lord said, look in that verse and you'll see I and am. He said, I told her I am the I am. And then He said, look at what I squeezed in between. If you look at that verse very carefully, Eliana, if you'll put it up on the screen. He told her that He's the I am. And in between, verse 26, in between the I and the am, he inserted, almost like in brackets, these words, that speak unto thee. Folks, you need to let it hit you like the proverbial ton of bricks here tonight, that the I am that created the cosmos, that manifested Himself to the world through this human man, the very I am that created the cosmos has showed up tonight in Clarksburg, West Virginia, to talk to you. Folks, I'm telling you, God is good. God is good. Let's do it again. God is good. And all the time. Amen. It humbles me to think when I look at my track record, when I look at how many times I've messed up, when I look at how flawed and how many areas that I view myself as imperfect, it humbles me beyond the description of words that God would give a little old cracked clay pot of myself, a word from Him to give to the people, but I have to be faithful and deliver the word. It ought to humble you that God would use you to speak to someone by witnessing, that God would use you to speak His word, that He would be the I am that speaks to them through you as a vessel in a Bible study and witnessing and telling the gospel to someone. But you need to humble yourself and let God use you to do that. There's a place in the book of Acts where a lame man looked up and expected to receive some money from Peter and the others. And Peter said, silver and gold. First he said, look on us. He said, look on us. Folks, there's nothing in me. There's nothing good in me. In my flesh, there's no good thing. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And simply because I've become a vessel, a conduit of God's grace and mercy, even though there's nothing in me that makes me want people's eyes on me, yet I still say, look on me. He said, look on us. And then He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man was healed, leaping up, standing and running and leaping and walking with them. He went into the temple. The Bible says, verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said to him, why, what seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. I want to preach to you tonight, the Lord is come to give you life and to give you that life more abundantly. The New International Version says so that you can live life to the full. If you are mired down, if you are bogged down, if you are miserable in your life, I am telling you in the Holy Ghost, you are living beneath your privilege as a child of God. And you say, well, Pastor Joseph, what can I do about it? The answer may surprise you, but I'm going to tell you this. There's some meat on the table for you to eat, and you're not eating it. You're going away without eating what the Master has. I told you earlier, the Master says, I've got a table spread. Come and dine. Well, Pastor Joseph, I want to eat that meat. Well, let me tell you what that meat is. It's to do the will of God. If you never witness, if you never teach a Bible study, if you never do anything to win souls, you are ignoring the will of God. You will have misery in your life. But I bring you good news. If you'll screw up your courage, maybe you're an extrovert, maybe you're an introvert, I'm going to tell you in the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter. God can use either one. He will use either one. Screw up your courage. Stand up. Open your mouth. Don't just say, well, please ignore the fact that my church makes me dress a certain way. Oh, give me a break. We don't make anybody do anything. We read the Bible, we preach, and we set an example, and we ask you to follow. If you don't want to follow, don't follow. But as for me and my house, we want what God has given us in His Word. Stand up and say to them, not, will you go to church with me? Okay, sorry, I knew you wouldn't. Tell them the gospel. Tell them that you can help them get their life straightened out. You can get their thinking turned from upside down to right side up. Tell them you know the Creator of the universe and He's good. Why is it that they despise the idea of coming to church? They've got an idea painted in their mind that God is not good. It's the truth of God is good with a big fat knot stuck in it. They have this idea that if they come serve God, God is some kind of angry, mean boss with lightning bolts in one hand and heavenly baseball bats in another, and He's going to blast them into oblivion because they had a little bit of fun. That is not who God is. The things that he tells us not to do, the things that he asks us not to do, it is because he loves us and he has our best interests at heart. He wants what's best for us. I'm telling you, God is good. Everything that he asks of us, he has a reason for it, and it's for our benefit. But they can't see that. They can't see the benefit because of their upside down thinking. He said, I have meat to eat, you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I'm going to tell you, folks, it's just really simple. You don't have to take my word for it. Come meet him yourself. Oh, taste and see, and you'll realize that the Lord is good. Amen. As I get ready to go to Psalm 34, I'll tell you real quickly, there was a point where Brother Billy Cole was on a period of his ministry where they were going out into the towns, and they would work the streets. They would go out into the where the marketplace was, and the people were milling around selling, you know, raw meats and fruits and vegetables and spices and whatever little gadgets. And they would mill out through that crowd, and they would have little charts with them, and they would try to talk to people. And Brother Cole said he got into a debate with a man that was extremely intelligent. He said, Brother Cole, he said, I'm this man was more intelligent than I. And he said he was a very good debater, and he was debating from a standpoint of philosophy and a standpoint of human thinking and human reasoning. And he asked me good questions, questions I just had to say, I'll get back to you on that. And they were debating about whether or not God was real, whether or not Jesus was God. And before they left that day, Brother Cole said, let me ask you one thing. He said, when you get alone, he said, I want you to just try it out. Just talk to God as though he's real and give him a chance to answer you. Just try that for me, would you? And so the next time they came back to where that man was, Brother Cole had done some research and he was ready to try to debate with the man again. And when he walked in and began to try to enter into dialogue, the man said, oh, sir, there's no need to argue this time. He said, I did what you said. I got alone and I looked up and I said, God, if you're real, would you reveal yourself to me? If you're Jesus. And he said, the room grew bright in the middle of the night. And he said, the Lord showed up. Jesus showed up. He said, I know that he's real now. You don't have to argue with me anymore. Oh, taste and see. I want to read just 8 verses here out of Psalm 34. The whole thing's awesome. You ought to read it. But in Psalm 34, in the first verse, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know what he's saying, and not in more than these many words? He's saying God is good. He says, I'm going to argue from a premise that God is good, and I'm going to tell you that because he's good, I'm going to be praising him all the time. And then he said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble are going to hear about it and be glad. Now, I want you to get in your mind that the concept that the psalmist is in a gathering, a congregation of that maybe has a mixture. It's mostly believers, but maybe somebody is there that's skeptical. And so, Elder Rusty, Elder JT, if you'll come help me, Elder Kyron, come help me. So, now, come on up. So, I'm going to have, Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm going to have you be the door. And Jesus said that he's the shepherd. I'm going to have you be the shepherd. Kyron, you're going to play me here tonight in this little ordeal. You're going to be the doorkeeper, okay? And Kyron, Chiron, he knows the shepherd, so he doesn't open up. Hey, hold out your door there. Hold out your door. Here you go. Okay. So we got sheep over here. They're protected. They're protected from the thieves. And we got the good shepherd's coming. Good shepherd's coming. And so he opens up the door for the good shepherd, lets the good shepherd into the sheep. So this is what he says. He says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Amen. So, doorkeeper, tell the sheep, let's give some praise to the shepherd. So he's telling, and I don't know how sheep sound when they're giving praise to the shepherd. Maybe it's baa. I don't know. Maybe there's a little different sound to it. You know, thief comes, bad. Shepherd comes, he's bad to the bone. He said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." It's like as though he's saying to that skeptic that's in the congregation, "Won't you just try it? Won't you just magnify the Lord with me and let's just exalt his name together? Why don't you just taste and see that he's good?" I'm reminded of one story Brother Cole told. They were at a place and the woman there that was kind of the patron of the place, she was British, very, very proper. And the Spirit of the Lord was all over her, but she was too proper. And Brother Cole said, as they got ready to go into the crusade that night, he said, "I'm going to trick her. I'm going to ask her to sit by me so that if I miss something, she can fix it for me." And then he quoted the scripture. He said, "So that by all means, we can save some." So he said, "It's okay to do a little trick every now and then." So he asked her to come and sit by him. And he said, right at the right moment, he looked over to her and called her by name and said, "Why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord just like a little child, just once?" That was the last thing she did before the Lord filled her with the Holy Ghost. She lifted up her hands and she said, "Oh God, you know that I love you." And the Lord filled her with the Holy Ghost. She began to speak with other tongues. Brother Cole asked her later, he said, "How you feel?" She said, "Oh, Brother Cole, this is a smashing experience indeed." All he had to say was, "Ma'am, won't you just try him out just once? Just taste and see." The psalmist writes, he testifies. Come on, come here, gatekeeper. He testifies. The skeptic is in the house. And he testifies and he says, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears." And then the gatekeeper, he's give his testimony. Now he starts giving other people's testimony. He starts pointing to other people in the crowd. And he says, "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." And then he picks one guy out of the crowd. Maybe he's a Zach Sandy type character. He points over at one specific guy and he goes, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And as if he hasn't sealed the deal yet, he puts this icing on top of the cake. He points around the room and he says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." And then he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." All right, good job, gatekeeper. Good job, gate. Good job, great shepherd. Let's give him a hand. So I want to ask you to stand with me. I'm telling you, folks, the Lord is good, and he is here to heal tonight. The Lord is in this house to heal tonight. Amen. As I walked up and down in prayer before this service, the Lord began to speak to me about one after another. And I don't want to embarrass anyone, but the Lord is going to bring healing in this house. Amen. I want to ask you to take a step of faith right now. I'm telling you, I know you can't see it with your natural eyes, but the Master has a table spread here tonight. And if you believe that you can come up here and receive something of God, I want you to come up here. I want you to get somebody by the hand and say, "Come on, let's go to that altar. Let's go stand in that altar and let the Lord give us what he has to give us tonight. God is good. He has a blessing in this house." Amen. Come right now and receive of the Lord.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.